In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have a confession to make to you. I jinxed us. This rain is my responsibility. I jinxed us with the opening sentence of the sermon I wrote this week. So please excuse me. I don't know whether it's been because the weather's been so nice or because the tea has been so slow, but recently I found myself mostly traveling on foot. And so I'll say, I don't know if during the last week and a half leading up to Thursday it was because the weather had been so nice or because the tea is still so slow, but recently I found myself mostly traveling on foot. You know, of course, that I live and work in Charlestown, so my commute is about 10 minutes walking down Main Street. But in the last few weeks, I've walked over to meetings at the Cathedral and City Hall and Old North Church, which are all very reasonable walks from here. And just this Tuesday, I had a lovely walk across downtown Boston to South Station to meet somebody for coffee who was coming in on the commuter rail, thinking that rather than walking to Community College, waiting for the Orange Line, taking the Orange Line to Downtown Crossing, then walking from Downtown Crossing to South Station, rather than waiting to take another train for one stop, it would be faster and much more pleasant just to hoof it. And it was. But on the way home, something really terrible happened. After my meeting, as I was heading back to church, I pulled out my wireless headphones and put them in, and it gave that grim little boom boom noise, saying, "The battery is dead." And so I was left, to my horror, to walk the several beautiful miles back to Charlestown on a spring day, alone with my thoughts. And I couldn't help but notice how long it really feels to travel somewhere on foot. In terms of minutes, it wasn't much slower than it would have been to take the T. But when there are no distractions, no headphones in the ears, or staring down at the phone, which I am much too clumsy to do while walking, the time really stretches out. You hear the traffic and the birds. You see the architecture, and this week the limping runners, seeing the sights of Boston the day after the marathon on Tuesday. And if you're like me, maybe you say a little prayer for all the 20-somethings you see at 8:45 in the morning gearing up for their day of work, who look like they're going down to work in the mines. But when you travel somewhere by foot, you start to notice these things. Unless you're like Cleopas, or that other unnamed disciple, who the gospel story this morning tells us walked almost 7 miles with Jesus and didn't seem to realize it was him. Maybe they were caught up at first, the two of them discussing these things that had happened during the last week, the trial and the death and the supposed resurrection of their Lord. And a man joins them on the road and starts talking with them as they all walk along, and they speak at great length. I guess Luke doesn't tell us exactly where on that 7-mile journey Jesus joins them. Maybe it wasn't all 7 miles he walked with them along the way, but still, you can tell their conversation lasts a while. They think he's a traveler from abroad, and so they fill him in on all these current events about this guy named Jesus of Nazareth, and he replies, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, and showing how these things must have taken place, until they understand that when they heard that the Messiah had come, this was exactly what should have happened. But looking at him along the way, they don't see that it's Jesus walking with them. Hearing him, they don't hear that it's Jesus talking to them. They don't recognize that this is a classic sermon from the guy they've been following around for the last year or so. And after a long walk, 7 miles down the road, they reach Emmaus, and the disciples invite him in. "Come, stay with us, have something to eat." And he sits with them, and he takes bread, and he blesses it, and he breaks it, and he gives it to them. And then they recognize him, and he vanishes from their sight. And it's only then, in retrospect, that they begin to understand. It's only then, when Jesus has finally been revealed to them, and just as quickly disappeared, that they recognize that he was there all along the way. It's only then that they look back on the experience of spiritual fulfillment that they'd had together on the road, at this sense that their hearts had been strangely warmed, that they recognize it as a sign that Jesus was there. Their inability to recognize Jesus is not a distraction. It's not because they were looking down at their phones or had their headphones in. It's because the risen Jesus had been transformed beyond their recognition somehow. The Jesus who appears to us disciples now on this side of the resurrection doesn't look or sound quite the same. Jesus appears to us in many different ways, and we don't always recognize him. Imagine what would have happened if Jesus had continued on as he was planning to do, if they had never invited him in. They never would have known what had happened along the road. And I suspect that Jesus appears to all of us in this way without our recognizing it sometimes. They don't recognize him in the man who's walking with them. They don't recognize him in the stories that Scripture tells or in the sermon that he gives. They don't recognize him when they invite this stranger in to come and eat. Jesus is present in all of those things for those disciples and for us. And sometimes we really do meet him there. But in this story, it's a different moment. They recognize him in that breaking of the bread, in that first true Eucharistic meal, when he's suddenly revealed before their eyes, and then he disappears again. And they're left to reflect on that long walk and say, surely our hearts were burning within us along the way, and realize he'd been there. Some of you heard me say something like this on Maundy Thursday, so I apologize for repeating myself. But I've been noticing more and more recently that there are parts of my life that are only making sense in retrospect, a number of years down the road, especially in spiritual life. Some of you may have experienced the same thing. It's hard to know in the moment that God is close at hand. Most of us are, most of the time, head down in our phones, literal or metaphorical. We're distracted by the regrets of the past or the worries of the future. And even when we're not, even when we're undistracted for long walks of miles along the road, Jesus isn't always revealed to us there. Even when we are fully present, we don't always recognize that God is present with us walking along the way, along that long, slow journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. But then sometimes there comes a time when God's grace and mercy and love are revealed, when even if it's just for an instant, Jesus is revealed to us, and suddenly a whole long section of that journey starts to make sense. Oh, we think to ourselves, okay, you know, that random guy along the road did seem to know a lot about messianic prophecies, huh? I guess it makes sense if he was Jesus after all. Oh, that burning in my heart along the road, that was not just the second helping of the extra spicy baba ganoush. That was the presence of the risen Lord. That makes more sense. And I'm joking, of course, but I'm not really joking. It's fortuitous. I was walking down to South Station to meet with somebody to talk about the ordination process as they were in the beginning stages of it. And I love having conversations like that because they give me a chance to reflect on my own experience of the last few years, the last decade or so now. And looking back over those last few months, I had one of these kind of post-Emmaus road experiences of things starting to make sense. I was reflecting on the last few years and how it had actually been perfect timing for me to move from full-time ministry out in the suburbs into a part-time ministry here. How 10 years ago, when I was feeling torn, when in this same person's situation, I was wondering whether I was being called to ordained ministry or software engineering, it turned out that answering the call to ordination, I would end up writing church-related computer programs 10 years later. I don't know how many of you know that in the other part of my time, I maintain a bunch of daily prayer applications for people now in the US, Canada, and Singapore in English, French, Inuktitut, Thai, and Chinese, with a couple thousand users a day. Sometimes we don't know until much later how our decisions have made sense. And more and more often during this particular season of my life, I've been looking back over the last 7 miles that I've walked and realizing that it is as if Jesus were walking with me along the way. Imagine that. It's almost as if the Holy Spirit is actually real, as if God does in fact lead us and guide us along the way without our knowing it. Not as if God planned every detail of our lives, because there are many tragic details in our lives, but as if God was there with us, helping us, when we were living through them. As if maybe, just maybe, I could give up a little bit of my own need to be in control of everything. Because come what may, God will be there with me. And that's a very scary thought for someone like me, to give up control over everything, even a little bit, to God. It's very scary for an anxious know-it-all to admit that I won't necessarily know everything for a few more years. But it's good news, too, because God is here with you on whatever road you're walking on right now. And so I close with the prayer with which this service began. O God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.